All right.
There we go with the echo in the beginning.
It's not too bad.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Double L edition of Kayak Fishing Radio. Is it echoing?
A little bit, but not too bad.
That's weird. All right, we have people piling into the chat room. So we'll give everybody a little bit of time.
Before you talk about anything
exactly.
Important.
What's that?
I said that before you talk about anything important.
Yeah, I don't know. Only important thing I got is our guest tonight. Otherwise, I got nothing too important. Anyway, so we'll let everybody pile in here real quick. Got some wet weather coming our way this tomorrow and probably tonight and tomorrow. So fishing won't be good for another day or two around here, that's for sure. Looks like we're going to have a little frog choker going on. Remnants of that tropical storm that hit Florida. That was a crazy storm, too. Came in and went south. Never seen one of those in this early in the year, so it's not a good sign for our upcoming hurricane season, I think. But we'll see. Never got cold enough out there. Anyway, all right, so we got guests piling in. Welcome, everybody. As I said earlier, we'll get started now so we can get to our guest here shortly. Chris, how's it going out there on the other side of the wall?
It's going. I think the birds are a bit noisy, but they're completely covered up.
Yeah, that's
all right. Daisy is messing with the chinchilla. This is going to be interesting.
And that's why we call it the Double L Farm. Soon to be the Double L Farm on the Bay. We'll be moving here in the next few weeks, so.
And the cactus is blooming. The cactus that I plucked at a location, I don't know. But it's blooming for the very first time since I planted it. So this year it would be 3 years old, but it's got the first flower on it. At the new house.
I must like the new location.
Amy asked the ground if it likes the new dirt. I said, Amy, it's still in the pot. I said, I can't put that in the ground. It'll spread.
Yeah, prickly pear. All right. Well, we've had an interesting weekend here. So I don't know if anybody read my Facebook post, but I neglected a broken tooth I've had for quite a while. And, of course, it picked the Memorial Day weekend to flare up on me and get infected and went to the emergency room. Long story short, I went to the dentist today, and now I have a hole in my head and some stitches, and I'm on some pain medication. So if I say anything crazier than usual tonight, I'm just going to blame it on the drugs for now. So moving on, as I do every week, we make sure we let you guys know in case there's anyone new in the chat room or listening by the podcast about our upcoming event in October. That would be the Virginia Beach edition of the Boondoggle.
I'm greeting guests. I'm going. I'm pushing the button.
Oh, that's fine.
I got a button for that. Here it is. Ready?
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. And thank you to Steve Chapman of Fishing Florida Radio for doing that for us. He did that last week while we were live. I guess he's got a little app there on his computer or something. He put that together and gave it to us last week. So thank you, Mr. Chapman. So we're trying to talk those guys into getting up here. If you guys have never listened to the Fishing Florida Radio Show, I know most of our listeners are local here to Tidewater, but you should go check them out. You can get them podcasted also or listen to them live on Saturday mornings. It's a great show. Bunch of funny guys down there. Boudreaux, Mike Ortega, and Steve Chapman. They put on a heck of a show, and they're syndicated now. I believe they're in 3 or 4 different radio stations in Florida, so they're growing pretty big. They have a three-hour show they do down there. They have a lot of cool guests on there. Yeah, they got a big show. They do really well.
That's a long time to be yakking.
Yeah, they're in a, yeah, I don't know. They keep it going though. They have a lot of guests, and plus they have, you know, they're down there in Florida, so they have a lot of local reports to do. And being in two or three radio stations now, they have different affiliated tackle shops that call in from the different regions that they broadcast it on. But y'all give them a go, listen to them sometime. Like I said, you can download their podcast and a lot of good information on Fishing Florida Radio. So we're trying to get them to come up here for the boondoggle. Told them we had running water and power, so they said they were in. But anyway, back to the boondoggle. October 5th through the 8th in Virginia Beach, as we've been saying all along, it's not a tournament. There's no fees.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Sorry, I thought I'm supposed to hit it every time you said boondoggle.
You go ahead and hit that button as often as you like. When I say boom, it's going to be one of those nights.
Hey.
Anyway, so go check it out at kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle. I hope they're working. The links weren't working last week, and I haven't checked lately. But go check it out. Any information?
Also, check out www.tkaa.org. There is a thread on the boondoggle.
Can't hit your own button.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right, well, one thing I can be sure of, when you leave our show, you know what the heck a boondoggle is. So.
Again, really?
No. You can wait.
What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to make sure I don't say that again anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm going to mute myself
right
for a second.
Well, welcome. We got some more guests show up since we started, so welcome, everybody. Thank you. Haven't missed much so far. We've just been talking about the B word and moving along. So we've got some upcoming events to cover before we get to our guests and give a little quick fishing report for our area. The closest thing we got coming up right now will be June 9th is the Appomattox River Company's Demo Day in Farmville, Virginia. You can go to paddleva.com to get any information on that event up there. But like most of your demo days, they'll have manufacturers there from all the kayak, canoe, SUP board, everything that Appomattox carries and sells will be there on hand. Chris and I will be up there for the day. And come on, check it out. If you're in the area looking to upgrade, change, add a boat to your fleet or whatever you might be wanting to do, they'll definitely have everything there for you. Paddle, they also have paddle manufacturers and reps on hand, and you name it, it'll be there. And they got little seminars going on all day too. So Appomattox River Company, June 9th, paddleva.com. What else we got? I will be going, unfortunately, without Chris on the same day that she has her graduation for her Master Naturalist to the Falmouth Flats Fly Fishing Club to do a seminar on kayaking. So that'll be pretty interesting. Not much of a fly fisherman, but I told him, you know, come up there and talk about kayaking and how to rig for fly fishing from a kayak and talk to the group up there, so that's pretty cool. Mr. Jim Kovas asked if I'd like to come up, and I said sure. He listens to the show, so I don't know if he's listening live now, but download him. But thanks, Jim, for the invite. Looking forward to coming up there June 13th.
For the record, honey, I would like to say, despite the fact that we might not be all that great at fly fishing, we sure like doing it.
That's right.
Just saying.
I can beat the heck out of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to that. And this is something I just read today. I didn't know it was coming up this soon. I always knew it was in the summer. But June 1st to the, listen, June 1st through the 3rd, pain medications, is the free fishing days in Virginia. So if you don't have a license, you can still fish from the 1st through the 3rd, fresh and salt water. Now, if there's a particular stamp or permit that's needed to fish a particular body of water, you still have to have that. But as far as your issued license from the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, you don't need those on the 1st through the 3rd. So, not that anybody here probably doesn't already have their fishing license, because we all fish more than 3 days out of the year. But you could take somebody out with you or something that doesn't fish that often or looking to get into it, and there's your go for them to go out without having to purchase their license right away. So June 1st through the 3rd, free fishing days in Virginia.
Maybe Dan,
and then it's a little what?
Maybe Dan will go fishing again because it's free and he doesn't have to pay the $10 for a 5-day license.
Okay. We'll have to put on the calendar to take Dan fishing on one of those 3 days.
That would be for my son, Daniel Lally, only buys 5-day licenses because they only cost $10.
Calling him out.
He ain't listening. And a little, he doesn't know we're talking about him.
I'll be sure to tell him. A little further down the road, June 30th, TKA is having a family day event at Wallace's in Hampton. So future, like I said, it's a little ways, a month away, but mark your calendars, come on out, TK Family Day. And I believe Tom Vanderheiden's in the chat room. I think we are also going to have a HOW event that day on that same location. So, Tom, if you're listening, post up there. Yep. So there we go. So that same day, we're going to have a HOW event at Wallace's and a family fishing day, a little family tournaments going on. You can get more information for that also on TKA.org. And while I'm talking about TKA, might as well mention that our charity tournament is coming up in the end of September, the week before the B word. Gotcha. The TKA.org charity tournament. I'll bring it up again later. So anyway, so y'all go check that out, TKA.org, benefiting Project Healing Waters and HOW. And I know our guest here has something to do with the Project Healing Waters, so I'm going to make a note right here now so he can make sure we tell us about his little fly tying thing he's got going on. All right, so anyway, local fishing reports. It's pretty much the same as it was last week. Croaker, flounder, the drum, striper, I've heard have been really great. The water's been kind of muddy in the inlets from the rains we've been having, and we're about to have another day and a half of rain here, so probably take a couple days for it to clear up again if you're fishing in the inlets or around the rivers. And I know it's pouring up in the mountains right now, so you know what that means, runoffs coming our way. But croaker, flounder, everything's been getting a little better. I've been noticing size-wise, and some citations have been reported, so it's picking up. I know there's cobia reports out there, so it'll be time to get on to Mr. Brown suit fishing. What else did I see? Sheep's head? Did I see somebody said sheep's head the other day? I think I saw sheep's head. So it's coming. And the way the weather's doing now, we got nice warm temperatures, should be a constant. So I think it's going to only improve. So get out there. Wait till this rain passes. Striper season in the bay. 1/32. 2/28. So make sure you know your regs before you get out there. I didn't see the report. I know a whole bunch of guys went to HRBT. We had an offer on Saturday night to join them, but that was when my friendly tooth kicked in and started aching, so we didn't make it out there on Saturday night. So I don't know how they did. But anyway, anybody in the chat room, you got any events coming up or anything you'd like to share with us? I always tell you guys to send us an email or post it up on Kayak Fishing Radio so we can share your upcoming events. We'd love to let everybody know what's going on. Doesn't have to be local here in Tidewater. It can be anywhere, but let us know what you got coming up so we can share it. Let everybody out there listening know what's going on. Tom Vanderhyde's going to work tomorrow. Okay,
glad
Tom.
To see he works every now and then.
That's right. But his Fridays are always on our Thursdays or whatever it is. Always.
Oh, yeah. Every day for him is a Saturday. Every time he posts, it's a Saturday. Depressing.
Very cool. All right. Well, who we got in the chat room? I see it's kind of filling up now, so I'll go ahead and give a shout-out to all of our chat room listeners. And 59. We got a lot of people showed up tonight. 59 Bassman, Fish and Chef. Met you on the water the other night. Thanks a lot, buddy. You know, who else we got? A14. A lot of guests, you can log in with your Facebook account, and then you'll be able to chat with us. You're having trouble.
A14 just said he's Andy Bacco Whiskey, I hope. Bacco. Oh, God.
I have to get a button for you now. Greg, Chris, Josh, how's it going? King Rat. Oh, we got a whole bunch of people in here. R. Lee.
Ouch, torturing the name.
Stuff.
I'm sorry, dude.
Butchered his name. Rob Choi, Mr. Choi, how's it going? Sean, got some Texas. Sean Russell's in here. Brad, how's it going? Sun Jammers, nothing. Tommy V, where's your other half, Tommy V?
Bukowski, how is that? Bukowski. Does that sound better? Bukowski.
Yeah, he spelled it out for you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Okay. I'm looking at the chat room.
Oh, that's terrible. You got it. Awesome.
Very cool.
Andy.
All right.
Nice to meet you. Sorry.
No worries. I used to get picked on for Butch and Tom McTowell's name, so it's all good. All right, well, we'll get going to our guest here. I'm sure we'll have a lot to cover tonight. So if anybody has any questions for Corey or coming up, go ahead and get them ready. Put them in the chat room. You can also call in and talk to us live if you like, or ask Corey anything personally if you want to. Not personally, but you can call in and talk to him live at area code 714-816-4727. I don't think he'll answer anything too personal. But anyway, yeah, so our guest tonight is Corey Ruth. For a lot of us in the kayak community, I probably don't need to give a big introduction to him. If you've been around for any time, you've shopped in any of your local kayak shops, you've probably seen his book on the shelf. I've been fortunate enough to have been friends with Corey for a long time now, going back even before our real kayaking days, just fishing locally here in Tidewater. Corey used to work at a tackle shop that I used to shop at, and as things turned around, I worked at the tackle shop after he left, and got to know each other. Corey was one of the only guys I really used to see or know that fly fished a lot around here in the salt water. I used to see him and his buddy Francois out there on the boat, power boat that is, fly fishing, and got to know him through all that. And then when I was looking to get into kayaks, it was first person I turned to was the Corey, and asked him, and he got me squared away and started in the sport, and kind of the rest is history. Corey and I spent several years together working together. Been a great road with him, so I felt it only fitting to have him on the show tonight. Plus, he's got a lot to offer everybody. So like I said, if you got any questions or anything you'd like to ask Corey, by all means, get ready to. But like I said, I don't think I need to give him much more of an introduction other than, Corey, you with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, man.
How's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going great, man. Yeah, we definitely have chewed a lot of the same dirt, that's for sure.
Yeah, we put some miles out there together, that's for sure, definitely.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I just donated that trailer to Project Healing Waters, and I could just think of all the miles and that thing. I mean, it's been to New York a couple of times, Florida a couple of times. It's about as seen as much as we have.
Yeah, that's right, golly. Have that trailer around. Yeah, Corey and I have done some traveling to tournaments. We fished all over the place, and he's talking about his trailer he homegrown built out of the backyard. What was that thing, a sailboat trailer at one time, wasn't it?
Yep. actually belonged to Andy Zimmerman.
Anybody doesn't know, Andy's one of the main honchos with Native, a legacy paddle sports. Which is, I guess, when I kind of met you, right? When you were getting back, when you were getting into with Legacy, so because you had the red fishes then. So,
that was kind of when I first met you,
but when first started kayaking with you was when you were with the Heritage group at that time. I guess it was more than anything. That was the fishing end of Legacy, it seemed like. So with that, let's start with your history. So kind of when did you start? How did you get started in this whole plastic boat thing?
Well, when I was in college, I had an internship down at Lake Matamuskeet, and they didn't pay us much. They made like $100 a week stipend, but they put us up for free and all that stuff. But there was a kayak outfit out of Ocracoke. She had boats at Matamuskeet, and basically for a little hustle to make extra money, I would take people out on those boats. And this was 1997, so this was a while back. But, you know, I kind of got into taking these people out and started taking my fishing rod with me and fishing off of the kayak. And I was at that point, I really didn't think that much about it. But I guess about two years down the road, you know, one of the boats that I'd bought from them was a scupper. Ocean Kayak Scupper Pro, which didn't have a tank well. It just basically had two hatches, one in the front and the back. And I got a catalog with them and saw the new Scupper Pro because it had a tank well in the back to put scuba tanks in, but it also held a milk crate. So I popped the milk crate in and kind of put that boat together and started fishing out of it. And that was basically the beginning. And that was the boat that everybody, like Dennis Spike and even I think Jim Simmons had even mentioned it being a good boat back in the day.
Yeah, I have a customer that I work for, done a lot of remodeling stuff on their home, and he's got like three of them. He still uses, he's a, what do you call it, long distance runner, and he just kayaks just to paddle around or whatever, but he's got like three or four Scupper Pros underneath his deck at his house. Probably bought them at the same time. They've been around. He's had them for a long time, but that's what I was telling him. I said, that's the boat that started it all for this. That was one of the main boats that people started fishing out of, with that Scupper Pro sit on top.
Yeah. Well, I took it to Wild River Outfitters to a demo day to show it off when I had the crate and all on the back of it. And that was when I was fly fishing. I didn't even own a conventional rod. And Harry Longerbean from Wilderness Systems came up to me and said, you know, asked me, he's like, you fish out of this? He goes, I said, yeah. He goes, well, I got something you might want to check out. And on his boat, he had one of the first Tarpon 140i's to ever come out of the mold. And he let me borrow it, and he never got it back. And that was where the whole Wilderness Systems thing started.
Yeah, so that was your first, I guess, we've done this topic, and I think you were even here when we talked about sponsorship and pro staffing and all. But so Wilderness was your first kayak company that you were affiliated with?
Yeah, and it's funny because that was the same year that we did that tournament, you know, with the fly fishing tournament, and we got a prize, which was one of the first prowlers that had ever came out from Ocean Kayak. And it's kind of funny because I had a prowler too, but it just wasn't quite set up as good as the Wilderness Systems. And also, you know, I'm from that Sophia Trinity area where Wilderness Systems was from, so it kind of, you know, came back to the whole hometown thing. I'm like, oh, cool, I know that guy, so, yeah, I'll use your boat. And, you know, that's when I started going back home and checking out what they were doing.
Very cool. And then something I wish that I was around for, I didn't get into, but at that same time, there was the extreme kayak fishing.
Yeah, the Extreme Edge Kayak Fishing Tournament
Extreme
is
Edge,
what it was called. And it was, I don't know, to me it was probably one of the best tournament series because that's when they started the team at Wilderness Systems, which was me and Dean and Scott Knoll and I guess that Pierpont and Jim Simmons was actually on it, and so was, oh, golly. It's kind of a name that just leaves me now. But, I mean, it had, you know, we were the nine first I guess, one of the first organized teams, with the exception of the Ocean Kayak team, and it was like a family. I mean, we went all over the place. It was awesome.
Very cool. Yeah, we had Chad on here, that was a little while ago, and he was even talking about that when you guys went to Texas.
Yeah, he was probably one of the most traveled fishermen next to me. I mean, we did just about all those tournament series. I think it was like from 2005 to 2008 or something. It was like 3 years that those tournaments were going on.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't make it. Somebody asked me not too long ago what they thought, what was the reason. Who was it I was talking to? Somebody was talking to about tournaments and why it didn't last. And
It probably had a lot to do with the guy that was running it. And I consider him a good friend. He just didn't do it the right way, and it blew up. He lost sponsors, and it just kind of fell apart. But it was my beginning. It was where I got my network and how I know all these people from these different manufacturers and all can say hello and have them be as friends on first name basis.
Yeah. Plus, it had to be a lot to coordinate to have. I mean, I guess it's similar to what the, I'm losing my mind tonight. What's the kayak fishing tour that's going around with the boat
the
guys,
IFA.
Too? The IFA. That's right. So to have to coordinate, to have different locations for a tournament instead of having one spot every year is probably a lot of work, at least with the IFA. They have their boat series, so they just kind of piggyback the kayaks with all their boat tournaments. So I guess it probably makes it a little easier when you have that large of an organization and be able to put the kayaking into that effect.
Yeah, it's a pain. I mean, you know, I can tell you it was took a lot out of me. I'm sure Wayne can attest to it too.
Yeah. Yeah, tournaments are a lot of work. Very cool. So you did all that. You did your touring with the traveling and the tournament fishing and started your guide service, and it seems like all of that stuff probably helped lend itself to you in writing a book that I know you've done very well with, and I was fortunate enough to have been around and kind of, I wouldn't say help you write the book, but I know I took a lot of pictures and was kind of there with you when that was going on. Why don't you tell everybody about that, because I can't imagine, I have enough trouble writing an email, let alone to try to write a book. Give us a little...
You know, it goes back to 2003, July 2003, I wrote my first kayak fishing article for Chesapeake Angler. And, you know, I actually did it for a couple of years and kind of, stepped down from it. And that's when Kayak Kevin started taking over and writing articles. But that's, you know, the book is nothing more than all those articles, which I had 20-some articles written for them. So it just, you know, was an idea to put it all in one place. But it was conceived at the Fly Fishing Festival in 2004. I pitched it to the publisher. 3 days later, he called me back and said, we'll do it. Let's get the paperwork started. And then at the 2005 Fly Fishing Festival, I had the books in hand. So it took about a year from the time I told the guy I wanted to do it till I had a book in the hand. And then within next year, by 2006, we sold all 5,000 copies. So he came back to me again and said, all right, you're going to have to do this again. We need to revise this. So, you know, it's kayak fishing is like computers. You know, the day you write something, something else is better. Something's come out there. Something's changed. There's another technique, another manufacturer. You know, it's just hard to stay on top of it. But we did, and it's almost halfway through its sellership now, too. So I may have to do another one.
Very cool. So what would you say was the biggest challenge, I mean, to write a book? What was the hardest? I mean, what'd you find the most challenging in writing a book? Because, like I said, I couldn't imagine. You know, I used to write articles for a couple Sportsman magazine. I did a couple for Chesapeake Angler. But, I mean, to write a little one-page fishing article is one thing, but to sit down and write a whole book out would probably be... I wouldn't know where to begin. So what would you say was the challenge in that?
Tom just hit it right on the head. I saw in there that he put a spelling on there. And to be honest with you, the publisher is a retired teacher. So English, a literature teacher. So they kind of pushed me around a little bit, you know, and put me in the right direction. But that's, you know, keeping up with the deadlines was very challenging. And it's just, you know, the funny thing is that the publisher told me, he goes, you know, there's two different types of people. There's people who write and try to fish, and there's people that fish and try to write. And he goes, you're definitely the second. So at least I had him there.
Yeah, I always get done writing something and the screen's like blood red from all the word corrections on there, spelling checks and grammar checks. It looks like somebody took a red pen and just scribbled through everything I wrote. So I know what you mean by that, but well, very cool. Well, your book's done well. We have both copies here at the house, and if everybody's not familiar with Corey's book, Chris put up a link to it earlier in the chat room. Go give his book. I know it's done well. So you think you're going to do another?
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, he's pitched me, trying to get me to do like an advanced one that'll be a little more fishing involved, a little more, you know, he wants me to pull on my biology background and my fisheries background and, you know, do it by fish species or water type or something like that. We're trying to iron it out because we want it to be something that the readership wants, you know, and something that'll do well. So we got to plan it out. I mean, maybe even fly fishing. I just saw somebody, Bassman, 59 Bassman, said do a fly fishing specific book. I could probably do that, but I don't know if I can get 160 pages worth of it in there.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could divide it up or something, at least have a conventional part of it and then the fly fishing side of it. That would be cool. Now everybody, I'm reading the chat too. Everybody's pinging on the spelling stuff now.
Somebody suggested a fly fishing book.
Yeah, that's what we were just... Page 2, get squid. Anyway. I always feel bad when we do this show because people listen to it on podcast later on. If you're not a part of the show when it's live and watching the chat room, you probably wonder what the heck's going on sometimes. And I don't even
it's
know sometimes if we can we can repeat what's going on in the chat room.
Or some of the street names these days.
But, you know, I mean, the challenge was trying to maintain a home life. I mean, that's kind of what it was, is that I still had to be a dad and at the time be a husband and all, and it was tough. I mean, that was the hard part, you know, is trying to, you know, I did a lot of my writing at night after everybody went to bed or, dare I say it, at work, you know, at lunchtime and stuff. So when things were slow. You know, a lot of people don't know that I'm not a guide full-time, that I'm actually, you know, I work for the state. I'm a water quality specialist, so I have to maintain that too, so.
Yeah, a lot of hats to wear.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, shoot, I was reading the chat room again. Sorry about that.
What's your favorite hat to wear, Corey?
What's that, Chris?
What's your favorite hat to wear? What is the thing you like to do the most?
I like spending time with my family and with Kelly. I mean, I enjoy that and getting on the water with them. I mean, it's really cool. I mean, it's like you and Mark. That's my favorite part, is just getting out there and enjoying being outside with the people I like being around. But my fly fishing hat's my favorite, I guess.
Somebody put posting pictures that make us jealous of his job on Facebook.
Well, yeah, you know, I always show the good stuff because we have the bad stuff too. I think I'll try to show that a little bit more, like when I'm knee deep in a chicken river, of an outflow river that's made there. You know, the water comes from the chicken plants, so it's not always fun.
But we don't see those pictures. We don't ever see those nasty pictures.
Oh, I'll have to dig some up for you because I know I've got some, but yeah, I do that too.
The hummingbird was pretty cool. I have to say that was pretty high up there, Corey.
Well, that's the hard bird to get for sure, but I think I got it figured out. You know, we'll do more.
Yeah, if everybody's not aware, besides for all the things Corey's already mentioned, he's a heck of a photographer too, and Chris and I always joke because he's got lenses on his cameras that can tell you the weather for tomorrow, so he can take a picture from I don't know, 100 miles away sometimes it seems, and capture it very well. So we talked about your past, so to speak, I guess, and kind of where you've come from and what you've been doing. So what do you see for your future? What's going on with Corey, and what do you got coming up down the pike?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, my transfer over to Freedom Hawk's a pretty big deal, and every day I get something new from them and some information and new projects and all. So it's a lot of it's going to be centered around developing some boats with that company. I mean, it's always where I wanted to be. I mean, it's one thing to be a pro staffer, but it's another thing to actually get to go to the factory.
Uh-oh. Corey?
Use your input, and there's a lot of good stuff coming from the company, and it's a small group. I mean, it's really, really going to be where a lot of my attention is going to be. Always wanted to be.
Very cool.
Eventually, one of these days, there will be a boat that I can put my name on or put a lot of. I've done a lot with Wilderness Systems with them, but nothing to the level going with the guys with Dave and them guys at Freedom Hawk.
Very cool. Are you moving around, Corey? Your phone's breaking up on us.
Mm-hmm. No, is it still breaking?
Yep, somebody asked if you were driving through the HRBT.
No, it's giving me a strong signal. Is it better?
All right. I guess you're all right now. I don't know. Very cool. All right. So tell us about Freedom. I mean, you got the floor. So I mean, anybody you want to talk about your Freedom Hawk or any of that. I mean, if the people aren't aware out there or what's going on with them, you got the floor. So
Tom
Jammer
just
put up. I think Freedom Hawk is the most underrated kayak on the market.
Well, it needed to go through a lot of evolution, and the first boat was okay. The second boat, you know, we actually changed the pontoon so they would go in line with the kayak so it becomes more streamlined, and then the Pathfinder has hit it out of the park, and that's going to be what all our new pace boats are going to be based on, is that, you know, we answered the question. People wanted self-belling boats. People wanted the inline pontoons. They wanted the under-the-deck storage. You know, we got hatches up front now. And the one thing we really got to try to figure out is to get the storage in the back comparable, because a lot of people are used to having that crate behind them. So that's in the next designs and stuff. But we actually have a lot of stuff coming out of the pipe, and I can't talk about a lot of it, but one of them will actually be introduced at ICAST this year, and I actually get to go to ICAST and show the new product.
Yeah. I wish I had a dollar for every guest that Chris and I have had on here that says, I can't talk about it right now, but we got something. I think we'd be rich right now. I think almost everybody we've had on here has had some kind of little mystery project going on.
Mm-hmm. Every one of them.
We give you guys your props. At least you got to let Chris and I know. We won't have to tell the whole radio audience, but golly, every time we get somebody on here, we got somebody that always has something coming up.
The good thing made one, and I'll have one in hand, and I'll definitely, when the prototype comes out, I'll let you guys out. So.
Gotcha. All right, well, we got a question in the chat room, so we're going to go back to what we're talking about.
A lot of guys will tell you that they can't tell you, but some of us actually have to sign paperwork, and
yep.
I'm bound legally to not to give up too much information, so that's when it comes to Freedom Hawk. But any of the other stuff, I can probably talk about whatever I want to.
Yeah.
T-Mobile.
I understand. So
is this
Tom McTowell. Oh, go ahead. I'll try and get to this question before it passes me by and I forget.
He would like to know what camera you're using on the water. He gets some great shots close up of waterfowl and such. I would be interested in what he, damn, too much typing.
I saw that, and I take my DSLR out on the kayak with me. I mean, there's no way to get the picture quality when it's in a housing or these little underwater point and shoots, they just don't do it. So I put all my trust in the watershed dry bags. I put the camera in the dry bag. If I'm not taking pictures, I got it zipped up. But that's what I take. Yep, no case. I take the risk for sure.
Yeah, we know what happened to your cell phone.
It was in a case, though, so it was probably all right. It's probably still dry.
Okay, so let's it should be tied to the boat.
Yeah, definitely need to. But if it goes in the water, it's done. Ain't no doubt about that. But I'm a
Canon
Sony
or Nikon.
Sony. I use the Sony Alpha 580. I mean, I've been a Minolta from the beginning, and all my stuff is Minolta, and Sony bought them, so I just kind of made the transfer over. And just to tell people, a lot of people will put Sony down and all them sensors are in your Nikons and in your Canons are probably made by Sony.
Tethered, man, tethered. I believe that's our friend Tyler Rich right here in the chat room. Tether, man, tether. Just say yes or no, Tyler. Is that you, Mr. Rich?
Yeah, the problem with a tether, if my camera goes in the water, it just becomes an anchor. I mean, salt water and electronics, it's pretty much done.
Yep. Very cool. That's Tyler. He's in the chat room with us.
Awesome.
Tom,
it's good to see him.
Well, very cool. Any other questions? If you guys have questions, now is the time to ask them. You get them for free tonight. So
anything.
Any other time to get charged, ask questions.
Ask Corey anything you want.
Yeah, anything.
If for nothing else, the two Toms would come up with something witty. But meanwhile, what is in your crate, Corey, the one thing you would not leave home without?
My camera. That's in my crate. I mean, I've had days when I go out there and I don't fish. I take my stuff and I take my camera and I take pictures because you can't do both. I mean, everybody can attest. You can either be a photographer or you can be a fisherman, and it's just, you know, I prefer to be behind the camera most of the time, so that's why it's always in there.
Then one of the next questions, and I know it's on Mark's list, how about one of your bucket fish?
My bucket fish would be Golden Dorado down in South America from a kayak. That would be it. I mean, that would be the fish of all fish.
All right, a Golden Dorado.
I'm reading the things on here, and people were talking about the Luther's mounts and all that, and definitely big props out to Yak Attack for the stuff he's put up, man. It's awesome.
Tom Vondrein wants to know if he can go with you.
Sure he can.
Yeah, rooster fish, that's on my list. That'd be the one I'd want to catch, a rooster.
From a fly.
It's too hot in Mexico.
And it's not in South America?
Oh, no, that where they catch the Golden Dorado is about like Montana. It's the same distance from the equator. So it's a little cooler.
Dave just said, Mark, bring him down here. No, we want everybody to come up here right now. Everybody come to Virginia.
That's a different Dorado. Dorado they're thinking of is a dolphin Dorado. The dolphin or Mahima, different type of Dorado.
Yeah, it's a freshwater fish. That's brutal.
Right.
And it's somebody could find a monster.
Put up a picture of one. Mahi here. Yeah, see, that's the type of Dorado y'all are.
I saw Gator Dave said to bring me down to Florida. I don't know. I mean, not many people know that I was just down there to take my dad down there so he could have surgery and come back, you know.
How is your dad doing?
My dad is doing better than he was before he had the surgery. So this was something that was probably going to happen anyway. And, you know, I like the fact that I was there to kind of hang out with him and all. So, you know, it could have went a lot worse than it did. And, you know, I have the opportunity to go fish with him again. So we're already planning for something. And, you know, in the not too distant future, we're going to try to get back down there and do it over.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm glad to hear your dad's doing well. Sorry your trip got messed up, but at least you were with him.
Exactly.
So we were talking.
No, you go ahead.
I wanted to keep going with your future stuff because I wanted, like I said in the beginning, give you time to talk about what you got coming up. And so if there was anything else you wanted to cover in your future plans for Corey Ruth and what's going on.
Well, like I said, we're going to continue to share the wealth and get people on kayaks and get them fishing. And then we're also going to, I'm doing a lot of different things with upland hunting and waterfowl coming up this winter. I'm really excited about, changing the gears a little bit when people are going to chase, or I'm going to be chasing ducks. Between that and a few other things we got coming up, it's going to be pretty interesting. I'm very excited, about what the future has for. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. That's something that somebody mentioned, one of us mentioned earlier, but I wanted you to talk about because it's pretty interesting to me, even though I can't do it worth a crap, but you got a thing going on now where you're tying flies for Project Healing Waters, the patriotic flies that you're doing. So I want you to talk about that because I know we got some fly tires here tonight or some people that listen on podcasts, and maybe they'd like to help out and contribute towards this, so... You want to talk about that real quick?
Wow, there's other questions that are coming up right now.
Okay.
Tom is trying to get some fishing sticks out of me, but I'll talk about that real quick. We're going to, I've all involved with Project Healing Walk, and I thought that maybe Project Healing Water guys, so we're going to, hit her fly tires that are going to flies of this, and then I have some regular everyday guys too that are going to put flies. But have these presentation boxes made for these flies, and the thing about it is that they have to be red, any kind, as long as you use those colors, and it's really taken off. And the idea is to present those boxes to the fly fishing vets at the TKA event after we fish with them. We also have every intention to try to match a Project Healing Water participant up with a fly fisher, kayak angler this year, so we can have a little bit of organization on that end and actually get them out and get them on some fish this year rather than just having them, shotgun out in the water.
Very cool. Project Healing Waters, tell us, maybe some people are listening tonight that aren't aware, so give us a brief little, what is Project Healing Waters?
Well, they were, Project Healing Waters was there before PAL, and that was our initial charity for the TKA tournament when I was running that, but they kind of do the same thing. They were using fly fishing, and these guys travel all over the country. They go to Montana, they've been to Patagonia, and they really treat these guys good, and they have a really huge tournament every year called the Two Fly, but I've just kind of been helping out a little bit and just doing it because I enjoy doing it. I really, can't say too much about it other than it's my way to give back, and I just do it because it feels good.
Yeah, good organization there, much like how they're helping the wounded servicemen and women rehabilitate through some form of fishing, whether it's kayaking like Howe or fly fishing like Project Healing Waters. And Chris and I have been involved with you on a couple of those events. We went to Two Fly last year, and again, those are those little moments in life that make you appreciate what you got and makes you really a little gut check, and giving back to those guys is awesome. So if anybody wants to help out with this patriotic flies that Corey's doing, I'm sure you can get in touch with Corey. You don't have to be a fly tire either. You can help donate. I'm sure they're going to need some stuff for that, some fly tying material and hooks and all those things. But I've been watching some of the pictures you guys have been putting up. Dean Thomas down there in Texas has already tied some, I saw, and different ones. So I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I think it'll be a first year there. Like I was looking at that too. People just misbehaving, but I apologize for my cell phone service. People were saying that it's kicking in and out, but
I thought it was like an old Beatles album. I thought it was like an old Beatles album, number 9. I thought if you had to play it backwards, we'd get something else out of it. So.
Yeah. No redfish in Lynn Haven.
There you go.
I was kind of looking down through here to figure out what the if one of these questions that someone had asked about the lack of redfish. I mean, I can tell you a lot of speculation about what that is, and I would. My gut tells me it could be the fact that we've got 4-pound nets outside of Lynn Haven harvesting fish all summer long that don't really get monitored. But there's also, it's always been, Mark, that it's been about a 5 to 6 year pattern where it's up and down. There's times when you'll see nothing. Yeah, nothing but, I can remember when we were happy to catch croaker on the fly in Lynn Haven, and we were seeking them out, because it's the closest thing to redfish we got here. So, and then when the redfish showed up. Yeah, exactly. So it's it's in the cycle, I think, and I think it's going to come back. Looks like there's some people starting to catch a few reds. I see in pictures on some of the forums and stuff. So maybe we're swinging back up in the good side. But I can tell you right now, this is going to be the year of the speckled trout. I've been getting a lot of good reports and stuff about bigger trout, healthier trout showing up. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Specs have been. It's been some of the best past 2 years that the speck bite we've had around here. And it was kind of interesting. I was talking to somebody, and for all of our local listeners, even back in the day, and everybody that's listening that knows Mob Jack and all that used to be on fire, and I'm hearing great things from up that way again and all too. So I think you're right about that. Our trout are about to be back. Now if we just get the gray trout back here like we used to have, we'd have a complete little fishery like we used to have.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, the water quality.
So the reds have always been that way in this area. The reds have always been this way. Everybody got spoiled that 3 or 4 years ago where if you didn't catch a redfish, you just didn't know you didn't have a hook in the water, it seemed like. I mean, you couldn't not catch a redfish. In Lynn Haven, if you didn't catch a red, we had a one lure tournament one time. We all had the same lure, same jig head, and I think on average everybody caught at least 25 or more redfish that day. And we were all fishing within 100, 200 yards of each other. I mean, it was just incredible the amount of redfish that we would catch in Lynn Haven. And I'm sure, and everybody gets all worked up about it too. And if you look at it geographically, we're at the most northern sector of redfish, the puppy drum traveling anyway, so for us to have them is pretty good to begin with,
sure. And it could have a lot to do with the cold weather. I mean, we had those real cold winters that were hard on them, we're not in an area that gives a really good habitat for those guys, but we do have them, so we'll take it when they're here.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice. Yeah, we all got spoiled there for a while, so now we're kind of wondering what's going on. So for any of our Florida and Southern listeners here, we don't have them like you guys do down there, but that's what's funny. I say that when I was in Florida working this past winter and I'd mention to anybody that I was from Virginia, the first thing out of their mouth would be striper. They get all excited. They're like, striper, you guys got striper, It's like, yeah, we got striper. Okay. We got striper. You go out and catch a few and then it's kind of like, okay, we did it. We've seen it. Same thing for them down there. They got redfish, and they probably, a lot of those guys down there are the same way that, we got reds. We go out and catch them, and that's what we do. But same thing for us. We got stripers, and we go out and catch them, and then after a while, it's like, okay, we got stripers.
Next.
So. Yeah, exactly. So not the smartest creatures swimming around either. So, but
yeah,
anyway.
That's true.
Well, very cool. We have any more questions for our guest tonight? Chris, who are you muting?
Who's been unmuted?
I didn't touch a button. What are you doing?
You did too.
No, I didn't.
I saw Rob said he saw that big school over there on the Eastern Shore. Man, that's, that has been, rather than the reds, I would love to get over there and find those upper slot class stripers over there, because those on the fly rod or on the topwater has got to be a just killer.
I think somebody just misspelled striper. They put stripper. Somebody asked if we eat them, or is it just a game fish?
Oh, boy, I'm going to be quiet. Never mind. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Yeah.
I hope the person that asked if we eat striper is not the same person that misspelled striper. I couldn't leave it alone. Sorry. We can edit the show.
Can we? I've never done it. Can you?
What? Striper's very good, Gator Dave. Yeah, striper are very good to eat. That's probably the best part about them, not the catching as much as the eating of them, I think. If you get that right size, yes. All right, we're gonna see the show's taking a different direction now, so we're going to have to wrestle it back in.
I'll push another button.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Well, I'm all, being that he's on here tonight, and I'd said that before, and I kind of was picking on him because, you know, I guess you'd ask, you know, who's developing the sport and who the heroes are and who that I would look up to. And I actually, and I'm not doing this to say this either, but I really have a lot of respect for Rob Choi because I know he has a job and he has a family and he manages to keep all that together and still catch those, you know, fantastic fish. And that's really what I admire about a lot of the guys, that the everyday guys like me and you, to pull the job off and get out there when we can and get on these fish. You know, I really admire that. So it's pretty cool. You know?
Yeah, not to mention, and I talked about this when he was a guest on our show, is that the guy lives almost 2 hours from saltwater. So I remember many a time seeing him coming in the tackle shop and he had toothpicks stuck up his eyes to keep his eyes open because he'd been working all day, took the kids, and then drove down the fish down here. So, yes, you're exactly right, Rob. Rob has put in his time, and he gets everything he deserves from that. And that's kind of, for our listeners, kind of where Chris and I are going with the show for a little while here now. A lot of things have been going on in this area, and a lot of people nationally recognize Virginia Beach, the Tidewater area, as a great fishing kayak destination. We have some of the best anglers, kayak fishing anglers, I think, that the sport has to offer around here. And I'm not saying that because I'm from here or because I've been fishing here, but if you look at it on a national level, and you mentioned a lot of the big names in the sport, and a lot of people who really contribute to this sport have come from here. And that's kind of where we've been going with our shows. I know our guests that we've had on, and we're going to continue to have guests from this area participate in the shows because we have a strong influence, this area does, in the sport.
I'd blogged about saying that there's any other state that has one kayak angler, I mean, hard, heavy hitter with every major manufacturer that there is in a 100-mile-hour area. I don't think you have that in Florida. We strive to do well with everything, and we've got Kevin, we've got Chad, you know, got Mark, we got you, we got William. I mean, we've got it covered in Virginia, and you don't see it anywhere else. And I think it's because of our, you know, we are a diverse crowd, and you know, so you were hitting on it. You know, we go down to Florida and we fish for redfish. It's easy for us because we have to work for them here. You know, I mean, we have to learn what they like to eat and where they like to go and all that. And we go down there south and there's millions of them. It's just, you know, to me, it's easy for us. It makes us better anglers because we're willing to work for it and we have to work for it, you know.
Very true. And our fishing in general around here, I mean, if people look at it, we have, not saying to other parts of the country, so I don't want people to be calling the show afterwards and saying, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm not
about,
bashing
Lester?
Florida
but,
either, not
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, I'm going to get a bunch of hate mail, but we have such a cyclic the fish here, you know, we have migratory fish and all. We don't have year-round. We don't really have year-round anything. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, tog are probably here year-round, but you don't always go after them, or some of those species that we have around here. So we have those little windows in here, you know, like Rob and those guys, you know, and I give all those guys their credit because I don't know if I'm just too old or just too whatever, but to go sit over there on those shoals and get beat up in the waves. But you have that window when the big reds are coming through for the spawn. You got to get over there and do that. You know, you don't get to go back in the flat water and catch fish that are, you know, there all the time and just happen to be chewing that day or not. You got to go over there, whether it's rough or not, because they have that little window. Which brings me to, I asked Kayak Kevin when he wanted to be on the show, and his first thing was, well, right now, you know, I got to concentrate because he's got his little window of fish that he's got to go get. He's like, well, I can't do it right now because I got these 3 weeks tied up for a red drum, you know. So I'm like, okay, well, when your schedule's free, Kevin, you go ahead, call me and we'll get you in. But that's the way it is around here. You have those little opportunities when you're doing that kind of fishing and when you're going out there for those species that – if you don't get on them, then you're not going to see them again until the same time next year. So,
yeah,
and I think that is what makes it.
I saw that Brad said easy on the Florida bashing. You know, I ain't doing that at all because if given the choice and the situations were changed, I would be there or Texas. So
just for God's sake, somebody mention the two Toms in some shape or form. They're whining that they're not getting mentioned. Mention them for something, anything.
Okay, Tom Vanderheiden is the best croaker fishing in the whole East Coast. How about that? The best.
How about Tom Mattel?
I don't really know about him, but he's a good guy, too.
Tom's the best guy emptying his whole tackle box out in the water and trying everything to catch a fish.
That's called diversity. He's very good at improvising and adapting, overcoming.
There you go.
He's on drugs tonight, too, so he won't remember any of this tomorrow, so say whatever you want. Got a bunch of people on drugs tonight. Probably a lot of us are. But anyway, yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with Florida at all. We're not bashing them by any means. Florida turned into the F word in our house because I spent so many months down there working, but I agree with Corey. I mean, if there's a lot of places that I could...
It's not hitting too good on me right now either, but I'm going to fix that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
You know, I just want to have a good time in Florida. I don't want it to be connected in any shape or form and, you know,
yeah.
I just want to go fish.
Same here.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, Corey, you can say it because we both did it. How many trips did we make to Florida? We drove 14 hours straight to Subers, turned around, fished, and drove back home. So, I mean... We must like it if we drove that, did all that crazy stuff we used to do back in the day.
Remember, Mark and I drove down Fort Myers with two kayaks on top of my Zion just, you know, to fish that Chicks and Sticks tournament. And we were the only kayakers entered in that tournament. So we love Florida.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with Florida. Would love to go back.
Well, you know,
I'll tell you,
Mark, 13 times... I went to Florida to fish in tournaments for when I was doing those tournaments. That's including EEF and going down for Subers and Jacksonville and all. I mean, I almost would just about challenge anybody except for that guy, those guys from Michigan that travel to go to all the tournaments. There's probably not many people that's been to many as we have, you know, as far as getting out and traveling all these different things. Jacksonville, I mean, Jamaica Bay. So... We've been around.
And what other group can travel all the way down to Florida and listen to Hoover snore all the way down and all the way back when it's his idea that we came right home?
Or Freakonomics.
Oh,
I heard about that trip.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the top here. Now we're just babbling. So.
Okay, I'll push another button.
Okay, you go ahead.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right, well, there you go. Well, Corey, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, tell us real quick how they can find you on the web, whatever information you want to give out.
Well, you can still get to me. A lot of people were getting to me through Ruthless Kayak Fishing that's still around, but the business is now Ruthless Outdoor Adventures. Facebook page of that name and website, ruthlessoutdooradventures.com. Like I said, it's a work in progress. We're starting to add some new content and stuff as we move along. Got some video and stuff in the queue. So once things stabilize, it'll be a great little resource and all. And also, there's another part of it called Kayak Fishing Tech that's going to kind of flow in with what I'm doing at Wild River Outfitters, which is going to get a total revamp on their kayak fishing, including bringing me in as the manager of that department. So got a lot going on over there, too.
Very cool. Busy, busy. I don't know. Sometimes the two of us need our heads checked. It seems like we don't. Somebody asked me the other Don at the tackle shop asked the other day, he's like, do you and Chris ever just take a day to sit down? He's like, watching you guys on Facebook and all, it doesn't seem like. I said, nah, if you sit down in this business, somebody's going to walk over top of you, so don't slow down.
Yep, that's
well, Corey,
sure,
we thank you for being on tonight. You're always welcome calling the show. You got anything you want to share with us coming down the road, by all means, don't be a stranger. Call in, check in the chat room, share with everybody. Let us know about that, what's going on at Wild River and when it's up in full tilt so we can spread the word and get everybody to come by the store and check it out.
Definitely. Definitely. It's great to be here. I'm really glad you guys had me on tonight.
Well, like I said, we appreciate it, and thanks for giving up your Tuesday evening. We'll go ahead and start wrapping this up, let everybody get on. Plus, I got to go watch the second part of the Hatfields and McCoys. Watched first Brown last night. So, everybody, thank you for tuning in. As always, if it wasn't for our listeners, we wouldn't have a show. You guys rock. You guys help us really keep this thing going. It's a lot of fun. Real quick, I'd like to thank Chip Gibson, our Thursday night host. Chip here tonight. So make sure you tune in to Chip on Thursday night. He's the guy who gave us the opportunity to start this a few months ago. Tomorrow night's Mark Wheeler. And now our West Coast show comes on Sunday evenings, the Spike and Ike show. I think Ike was in here a little while ago. Isaac, yeah, he was. I don't know if he's still with us. And then comes back around Monday for Redfish Chuck, so y'all give them a listen. Check them out. Go check out our Facebook page if you haven't already, First Landing Kayak Fishing Services. Give us a like. Check it out. Keep up with us what's going on around here. Don't forget to get all your boondoggle information from Yak Angler or Kayak Fishing Radio /boondoggle. Oh, she's sleeping at the wheel.
No, I'm just reading other stuff. Okay, I'm hitting the other
button. Boondoggle. No, you're all right. No, you don't have to
boondoggle.
Hit it. No, just...
Boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
There you go. Happy now. I pushed the button.
I'll be happy when I go get my next round of pills because my hole in my head, not my tooth, is kicking now.
I got
all
enough right. Oxy for you, honey.
What?
I got Oxy and Sharpie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. Real nice. Showing the love.
The chat room suggests what I should write on your forehead when you're out.
Wow.
See what they come up with. All right. Never mind. Not funny. I
okay.
love you.
All right.
I said it live on the air. I love you.
Remember that. She's saying that, everyone. So when I do wake up with something sharpied on my forehead, I'll be sure to share it with everybody here.
Well, last time Corey suggested we put Ruthless on your forehead, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends come out when I'm in pain. I like that. All right, we're going to get going because it's starting to take another turn out there on the old chat room. So thanks again, everybody. Remember, plan your fish your plan. Chris, you got any buttons you want to press and get us out of here?
Safety, safety, safety. Remember, take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Tight lines, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.